Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
So far in our Search for Intimacy series, we've looked at what sex is and what it's not. We've explored how powerful it is and how if we take it out of its boundaries, it can actually be quite damaging if we misuse it. We've learned some key principles of human sexuality, the value of people, and how sex is not an ordinary thing. It's actually a really holy, special, sacred, divine kind of thing. It's a gift to us. Tonight we're going to look at virginity, dating, and courtship because Dr. Alan Meyer, who's our guide through all of this, who's written the course, The Search for Intimacy, he actually thinks that our Western style of dating is actually fundamentally flawed, which is a fascinating thing to explore. Alan, welcome again.
Thank you. Nice to be with you again.
When we talk about virginity, we normally say, okay, a virgin is somebody who has not had sex. It's actually a much bigger idea than that, isn't it, when you take it from the biblical perspective?
Yes, it is. Although, let's start at the basic premise that we are talking about people guarding their sexuality in such a way that they just reserve sexual intercourse for marriage. It goes to the core of what we were talking about in the first session, the power and the purpose of sex. Because sex is not just a biochemical and physical relationship, because our sexuality is created in us, out of the pattern of God's own divine nature, who is a God of intimacy, sex was designed to change you. When you think about it, marriage is an extraordinary concept. You take a man and a woman who are very different people coming from different households and often very different backgrounds, and somehow they've got to try to make a relationship that can last for a lifetime. Our society is becoming increasingly pessimistic about the sanity of that idea. And part of it is because some of the mechanisms designed to help that to happen are being mistreated. Sex is designed to help a man and a woman be stuck together for life. Fact is, as I mentioned in another program, my entire sexual experience has been with the woman that I'm married to. We've been married now for 41 years, and the concept of divorce to us would be just unthinkable. And it's not that we're perfect people or that we're the perfect couple. It's just that we've stuck ourselves together. And the thought of trying to do life apart from one another is unthinkable. Now, we've contemplated murder on one or two occasions.
But never divorce.
And part of that is because sex was designed to change you. Now, why such an emphasis in the Bible on a thing like virginity? Because, firstly, the power of sex. Sexual intimacy is designed by God to stick a man and a woman together for life. Now, we mentioned this already in one of the earlier programs. Observe the misuse of sex. You can touch a child at the age of 4 or 5. It may not be a painful touch. It may not be a physically destructive touch, but it's a sexualized touch. And 50 years later, the emotional impact of that is still being felt in the human life. Why is that so? I believe it's at least in part because sex was designed as a change mechanism. And the Bible reflects on that. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible puts sex and sexual immorality in a class of its own. Nothing will impact you like this will impact you. And I guess the way in which I became aware of this was as a result of counseling the very first person that ever showed up in my office when I was a youth counselor. And this was a girl who'd led a guy to know Jesus, and he was attending her church, and they were preparing to get married, and they'd got involved in premarital sex. She would have liked to have been a virgin, but he kept putting the pressure on her and moving the goalposts and crying, you know, if you don't do it, I'll die. And so eventually she gives him access to her body, and now they're having sexual intercourse, but she's thinking to herself, well, you know, we're going to be married soon, and then it'll all be okay. However, he dropped her, went off and married somebody else. So now she's the first person I ever counseled. And I talked to her about forgiveness and she was very grateful for that. But she kept coming back and saying this to me, I don't seem to be able to let go. And after many sessions with her, I realized something has happened inside this girl that's beyond just emotions. In fact, this was an adult version of the child who's been sexually touched and feels the impact of that. Sex was designed by God so that a young man and a young woman would know their first sexual experience at each other's hands. And in the beauty of their, put it in inverted commas, their honeymoon sexual experience, they would find a delight and a world of intimate, joy-filled connections that would begin the gluing process that would not only bring healing to their bodies, to their relationships. Sex is such a healing thing. It's such a wonderful expression of forgiveness for the imperfections of other people's lives. It's such an affirming, kind, and you could call it a ministry-based expression of life, caring for another human being.
So virginity is really there to protect us, really, from those negative consequences.
Exactly, so that that you don't find yourself with fingerprints or impressions in your innermost being from a bunch of other people trying to build a one-on-one relationship with someone that actually lasts for life. So when the Bible is so protective as a result of virginity, it's not because God is anti-sex. It's not because God is anti-pleasure. It's because he's pro the longevity of a wonderful, loving relationship. And virginity plays its part in that, in providing a clean slate, an unmarked canvas on which to build a loving relationship with another human being. Mm-hmm. The word virgin in the Bible means one who is separated, one who's not on the market. And it's such an important concept to realize I'm not on the market. I live, in a sense, with the spirit of a virgin, because I have committed myself to one woman and I'm off the market. I never look at another woman in this life with the idea that somehow this could come to something. It can't. I'm off the market. So I live with this sense I'm separated to the girl that I'm committed to. And single people need to live with this sense that there's someone coming. God has a brilliant plan for my life. And that plan includes a person who's not a perfect person. You know, there's no perfect match. There's no perfect people. But there is a wonderful match. And there's someone that would be right for you, who sharing life together with you could make the most out of each other's gifts and cause each other to blossom. And virginity simply honors the fact that that person is really worth the honor that you bestow on them, to give them a clean canvas and for them to come to you with an open heart and a clean canvas. And together you begin to paint a whole new picture of life.
Nicely put. Alan Myra is with us on Open House tonight. We are continuing our Search for Intimacy series on sexuality, and tonight we're looking at this notion of virginity. It's not just a very simple concept that we keep on hearing about somebody who doesn't have sex, as Alan said. It's much broader than that. It's a person whose life is set apart for that person that's coming in the future, or the person that you're actually married to now. So what do you think has gone wrong with our style of dating then? The typical style where, you know, you might date a number of people before you find the one, holding hands, kissing. Unfortunately for some people it'll be more than that. What do you think is wrong with that? Because you think it's a flawed system.
I do think it's a flawed system because we've failed to appreciate the impact on a person's soul of those kind of what you could call foreplay, holding hands, cuddling, kissing, the issues of arousal, sexual arousal. They are all part of a mechanism that is designed to lead to intercourse and orgasm in such a way that there is no guilt and no regret attached to that, so that orgasm is again another profound sense of being bonded, cared for, and committed to another human being. I guess my resistance to this and my concern over this is that I've just watched too many kids' lives unfold. I'll never forget the very first time we had our house open and I watched kids coming in and often just would pair off for a couple of weeks. I watched the damage that that did to other kids. You know, the guy and the girl, they hold hands for 3 weeks and they kiss and they cuddle and treat each other like they're really special. And then the next thing you know, one drops the other. I watched the damage that that did to people. I watched kids leave school over it, over the humiliation. I watched kids leave their faith over that. And I think people are just worth more than that. When you appreciate the fact that there really is a God and he does know your life and he is for you, it takes the fear out of the lifestyle, which means if I don't grab someone now, it's like in musical chairs. As soon as the music stops, everybody fights for a chair because I might miss out.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that at the back of defective dating practices. And when I talk about defective dating practices, I'm not talking about guys and girls going out together. It's the pairing off thing. It's that premature beginning of the arousal and the treatment of another person as if they're your sexual partner, even if it doesn't lead to full-on intercourse, to treat someone as if they're your sexual partner when you have no idea yet whether you're prepared to stick around mm-hmm. and honour the impact that you're having
and so
on
even,
their life.
Even holding hands and kissing, you actually say, you know, it's all part of that. It's heading down the slope, heading up the mountain,
if you want to put it that way. It's beginning to build into another human being's heart. And if you tear that apart, you do that half a dozen times, people begin to have, there's a learned response. We have plastic neuronal pathways in our brain which are formed by life experiences. And you keep on forming life experiences that you begin romantic attachments and then they lead to tragedy. You begin another one and it leads to heartache. You bring another one, it leads to another separation. You build neuronal pathways into your brain that lead you to not being capable of making bonded long-term commitments with people.
You know, there'll be people listening to us now who will actually say, I can't even imagine an alternative. I mean, what is an alternative dating pattern if it's not to do just what we've talked about, which is what everybody does?
Well, the alternative to that is to treat people like your brother or your sister until such time as you know that you really are committed. I can go out and have a lot of fun with girls and with guys as long as my attitude toward them is such that I honour the place where the relationship is really up to. I think the Bible has some fascinating advice. It said in one place, a guy called Timothy was instructed by an older man called Paul to treat the younger women like sisters and treat the older women like mothers. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fantastic piece of advice. I gave that to my own kids. I helped my children to live that out. I remember the first time a young guy came to my house to want to date my daughter. And she was 15 years of age. And I said to him, well, before we go there, let's talk. And I, for 40 minutes, explained to him the value I had on her, the sense that I knew that for her to get engaging in romantic exercises that didn't lead anywhere would be damaging to her. And as a result, as a dad, I was intending to guard her. And so until such time as I was aware that not only his intentions were honourable, but his intentions actually had a future, he wasn't getting one-on-one time with my daughter. Funny thing was, he never came back. But I watched him over the next years damage the life of three really lovely girls in our community and eventually form a relationship with his wife that has never really been satisfactory. And because there was an attitude there that it's all about his own personal pleasure and responding to the excitement of the moment rather than the dignity of another human life and the value of a human life and treating that life with real care, because you have no right to begin to interpose yourself into another human heart and then rip that commitment away and go off and practice your Romeo-Juliet techniques with somebody else. And so it really is a matter of just treating people with profound dignity and spending time with people more like brothers and sisters than prospective bed partners. Listen, there's some things you don't do with your sister. You think that one through. Whatever you can do appropriately with your sister, by all means, go out and do with people on dates. Whatever you think you can do appropriately with your brother, go out and do that with on dates. And if you have that kind of a date, there'll be a date in which you actually find out what that person is about, mm-hmm. who they are, what mm-hmm. they think, what they believe. And as that begins to move in a direction which is clearly no longer brother and sister, there are a lot of other questions that need to be asked, and they need to be asked early, not late.
Like?
I think that you've got to look at all of the issues that are involved in harnessing one life to another. Are we intellectually compatible? Do we have social compatibility? Is our view of life compatible? What do we think we're supposed to be doing with the one life we've got? Many questions that are involved before you go putting a yoke mm-hmm. on your, because that's what mm-hmm. marriage is. You yoke yourself to another human being. Mm-hmm. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked, you know. And if you're going to find out if you're unequally yoked, it's not just about do we get the hots for each other. There's a lot of questions to be answered if you're going to do life well together. Yeah. And so I really encourage young men and women to spend time with the opposite sex. Yeah, go ski, hike, fish, play golf, do all the stuff, but treat each other like brothers and sisters until such time as it becomes very clear that there's something more in my heart for this person. I think I could commit my life to this person. Then you need to include others in the growing commitment to another human mm-hmm. life, and you don't cross the line from brother and sister to boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, coming marriage partner until you are really clear that this relationship really does have a future.
So you're really talking about courtship there, aren't you? That old-fashioned sense of courtship.
That's exactly the word that I think is worth recovering. Rediscover what courtship means, because it is spending time thoughtfully, carefully, deliberately with another human being, asking the question, could we build a great life together? Mm. Not just, are we having fun? And man, the colour of your knickers is really exciting to me.
Mm. I find it really interesting when you were sitting down with that that prospective beau who wanted to come out and take your daughter out, and you had this conversation. The role of parents in actually bringing a couple together, we've lost that, haven't they? It was such an integral part of the Hebrew mindset that, you know, parents had such a role. Now, of course, you know, some people are fleeing that because we still have arranged marriages in the world today as well. But there's such an essential role for parents to actually play in bringing, you know, their daughter, their son, together with an appropriate person.
Let me tell you three quick stories on that, because I think what you've just said there is profoundly important. Firstly, my own big sister. My own big sister was nearly murdered by her husband and has spent the last 20 years in a very lonely, lonely divorce. Mm. My father, in his heart, felt like he was the wrong man for her, but he never felt like he had the right to speak up. My sister only told me a year or so ago that when she was in the car on the way to the church, she only wished my father would have said to her, Margaret, you don't have to do this. Mm. And she would have turned the car around and gone home. If only my dad had felt like he had the right to say to my big sister, Margaret, I think he's the wrong guy for you. I don't think this is the right man. And that's all it would have taken, and she would never have gone down that pathway. Second one, my own daughter. She fell in love with the wrong guy. I knew he was not the right guy for her. And the amazing thing was that she actually listened to me. I'll never forget the night she came down to my bedroom with tears running down her face. And she said to me, Daddy, are you sure? And I said to her, sweetheart, just trust me. He's not the right guy for you. Well, she spent 6 months crying and sad about that. But at the end of that 6 months, God brought the right guy into her life. Mm. And the day I spoke to him, I knew this is the right guy for my daughter. He came and said, could I court your daughter? And I gave him permission to come around to the house, and we met together and talked. And I know this will scare people, but 14 days later, they were engaged. Because they didn't know each other. They just never courted each other. And they were kind of in each other's worlds. But then God opened his eyes. It's like God did the introduction. And suddenly he realized, oh, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And when I could just say, sweetheart, he's the guy for you. Mm. He'll be good for you. Mm. Third one, I had a girl in my youth group. She was dating a guy for 18 months. She came to her dad with a desire to get engaged. And he said, sweetheart, please don't do this because I don't think he's the right guy for you. So just because she honoured her dad, he didn't demand this of her, she broke off the relationship. And I remember all the furor going on at the time about what's a father got to say about a thing like this. Well, who does he think he is? Mm. I am so grateful for a man like that. Because the fact is, when that girl came and joined our church community, there were two young men that noticed her arrival. One was a go-getter, and he went and got her, tied her up in a dating relationship for 18 months. And the other one wasn't a go-getter. He was just a quieter kid. And he watched this with a lot of sadness because he felt like, I think I love that girl. When her father said that to her, she broke off the relationship. And within a few weeks, that other young man was able to come to her and say, can we talk? Within a few months, the other guy disconnected, went off and married another girl. And now the quieter young man had an opportunity to talk with her. And within a year or so, they were engaged and they have made a fantastic couple over the last 20 years. Mm. Now, when I watched that unfold, I thought, Dad, you're her hero. Because she could easily have married a guy that she would have regretted marrying for the rest of her life. Mm. But because her father had the courage to say to her, in my heart, sweetheart, I think he's not the right guy for you. And because she honoured her dad, the right guy, who was just quieter, had an opportunity to rise to the surface. And they ended up making a fantastic marriage.
Powerful stories, and lots for parents to be thinking about tonight, Alan. Which you are, each week you're giving us plenty to think about. Next week, let's talk about marriage then. We've talked about virginity, talked about dating and courtship. Let's explore marriage and what it can be this time next week. Thanks, Alan.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. There's so much involved in this that's why we need a course that runs for some time, simply because there's so many issues that are worthy of canvassing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's more courses, by the way. I mean, if you're interested in actually doing the course, you can contact Alan through the website. careforcelifekeys.org is the website.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.